C3, Connecting Coaches Cognition, coaching with Courtney and Christensen. As a busy coach, you spend all day refueling, revamping, and reflecting with educators. Now is the time to stop and recharge your batteries with some much-needed coaching for the coach.
Welcome back to another episode of C3. I'm Courtney Groskin, and I'm here with
Violet Christensen.
Violet, what's new in your world?
Oh, I just always feel like this time of year is so invigorating and so exciting. You're on the cusp of so many amazing things, and you're looking forward, but you're also looking back. So especially this week, I've just been grateful for a few conversations I've had with one of my newer educators, a second-year educator, and just being able to coach with her and talk about what worked this year and what she wants to implement for next year, and being intentional with this last beautiful days with our kids for this year of how can we get the most bang for our buck, and what can we try out to dabble to see if next year might work even better as systems or structures within our classroom. So it's been fun in order to just coach her and be able to help her have that deeper level of reflection as to her intentionality moving forward. And I know this is a weird thing to say, but all you COG coachers, you know, just like watching that beamer come over the face when they're like, oh my God, like just having that click moment, and it happening so readily with some of my coachees at this time of year, because they're finally really ready for that reflective thinking in their early career, that I don't know, it's just something that brings me back to my roots and makes me excited. And, you know, just diving in and planning for things that I want to implement next year as a coach and be able to be even better as a support system and, as a resource for those educators. So, I mean, that's just been super fun this week so far.
Yeah, it's really the time of the year where people can catch their breath. We go from surviving to thriving. Hearing from a lot of people like, oh, I finally have my room set up how I want it, or I've unpacked everything and I feel settled. It's like I feel like people are getting that chance to catch their breath. And you're right, it's the perfect time of year to try out something new and test it out now with the students you know before you get that new batch of students in or make that switch in positions or whatever is going on for next year.
100%. I laughed. This particular educator was like, I finally got the class seating arrangement. Like, I have tried 27 times this year to get it, and with flexible seating and all the options. And it was fun to see just the light come on and the success come through. And I think it rolls with this time of year. I see the same thing in my daughters and them kind of coming out of this hibernation mode and just getting back to their more jovial, happy, little, bright, shiny selves with the sunshine out and being able to go play in the backyard after school or just hit up the park and get ready for our new round of gymnastics. And, you know, you're just on the cusp of all of these energetic and fun things in spring, right?
A dose of vitamin D does you good.
It sure does. And how are you getting your vitamin D? What are you working on, Courtney?
I love spring. I'm getting the garden ready and cleaned up. It's that in-between time. I have all my seeds started and watching all the new growth happening. You know, when I think about the seasons, I don't necessarily think of spring being my favorite. But then when spring comes around, I'm like, oh, I love spring so much. You know, all the looking at the plants popping up and the new life happening and all those fun things. So I've been spending a lot of time outside after work, and then, you know, just really taking time to reflect too with educators. It's a fun time of year for reflection.
It's super fun. And, you know, my little ones, they're growing you not only pumpkins this year, Courtney, but also watermelon and cucumber. So when you're ready, you just let us know and we'll bring a delivery.
Well, I might have pumpkins too, because Pickles pulled a pumpkin out of my compost bin and spread it all over the yard. So I'm not sure how many pumpkins I might have. There could be hundreds of them. So we'll see. I might be delivering pumpkins to you.
Hey, we'll have a little pumpkin race and see where we can get before Halloween, right?
Exactly.
Oh, what a fun time of year.
Dr. Lori Desitel has been an assistant professor at Butler University since 2016, where she teaches both undergraduate and graduate programs in the College of Education. Lori was also an assistant professor at Marion University in Indianapolis for 8 years, where she founded the Educational Neuroscience Symposium that has now reached thousands of educators and is in its 10th year. Lori's passion is engaging her students through the social and relational neuroscience as it applies to education by integrating the Applied Educational Neuroscience Framework and its learning principles and practices into her coursework at Butler. The Applied Educational Neuroscience Certification, created by Lori in 2016, is specifically designed to meet the needs of educators, counselors, clinicians, and administrators who work beside children and adolescents who have and are experiencing adversity and trauma. The certification is now global and has reached hundreds of educators. Lori's articles are published in Edutopia, Brain Bulletin, and Mind Body Spirit International Magazine. She has also published in the Brain Research Journal for her work in the fifth grade classrooms during a course release position with Washington Township Schools. Lori continues her work co-teaching in the K-12 schools, integrating her applied research into classroom procedures and transition, preparing the nervous system for learning and felt safety. Her third book, Connections Over Compliance, Rewiring Our Perceptions of Discipline, was released in late 2020. And Intentional Neuroplasticity, Moving Our Nervous System and Educational System Toward Post-Traumatic Growth, her fourth book, was released in January 2023. Welcome, Lori.
Lori, we are so grateful to have you here today and for you being so gracious with your time. Thank you for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be able to have a discussion with both of you. So thank you for inviting me.
We are so excited to dive in and hear more from you. Can you just start by explaining to us the key concept of connections over compliance and why you believe it's so vitally important in the field of education?
The title really is the whole book. And we know that our nervous systems are social systems. And when we think about the educational system, we are constantly, continually, predictably with other people. It is a part of the educational process. And when the pandemic hit, we also saw the antithesis of connection. We saw a significant social loss in our children and in our youth that showed up in verbal and physical aggression. So as I was writing Connections Over Compliance and it came out in 2020, it feels to be even more relevant and more significant in this time.
Do you have any experiences or examples that led you to emphasize the significance of building connections with students?
Well, conceptually, in an abstract way, we know that attachment builds the brain. I mean, it's really powerful. And I love this quote from Rita Pearson before she passed away. She said, "We work for people we like. We respect people who respect us." And in my 32 years in education, I was thinking of all those touch points, those moments where we resonated with each other, where kids got me and I got them. We just vibe. And it was through relationship. And it was also through discipline, which can be a relationally safe space. And so we traditionally think of discipline as reactionary or all about consequences. But in Connections Over Compliance, I really began to look at discipline as relational, as preventative and nervous system aligned.
Yeah, the pieces of the book that really resonated with me were the relationships. I do a lot of coaching in a title school, and you won't get anything from those students if they don't feel that they're liked and they're loved and wanted and valued within that classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, you know, we're also learning is that many of our children and youth come into the schools with carrying in what we call trauma logic. And I write about this in the follow-up book to Connections, in that, you know, it feels very rational to not trust adults when every adult in your life has been unpredictable or has been neglectful or has been hurtful. And so many of our children and youth in our schools will ask for connection in the most horrendous ways. And so we have to reach beneath the behavior. And that is where in the book I talk about looking and exploring and getting curious about the nervous system.
And I appreciate how you bring up the side with discipline, and that that can be something that actually builds and enhances the relationship when you have that that some predictability with those routines, and also being firm but fair but loving at the same way with students, and how that really can influence and enhance that safety and security where you can draw so much more out of your those individual students and as the group as a whole.
Absolutely. And I think of children, when I talk about trauma logic too, there are many of our children and youth that come in relationship resistant, and their ability to connect is so difficult because they haven't had patterned, repetitive experiences of knowing how to create a serve and return between two people. And we don't get angry at children because they don't have reading skills or a foundation of math skills and really relationship skills, empathy, emotional regulation are all, we're all capable of acquiring those skills, but they have to be embodied. We have to have experiences.
Absolutely. That explicit modeling and engaging and building the rapport one brick at a time over time. In your book, you delve into the neuroscience of learning and emotions, which you touched on earlier, but could you share some insights on how this understanding can be applied in real-world classroom settings to benefit both the teachers and the students, or maybe give us a specific example we can hear more about?
So one of the things, because I am in the classroom, so neuroplasticity is this big word. It's kind of become trendy. I was very careful in Connections Over Compliance talking about it, you know, through a lens that was applicable and translatable. And it really what it means is that every experience that we encounter has the ability to structurally and functionally change us. And this is huge. This is growth mindset for teachers. This is, you know, when we think about accessing the executive functions. So neuroplasticity is our superpower, and we share that with our students. So we start every year in August talking about our superpower of neuroplasticity, and our first graders, seventh graders, it doesn't matter the age, they understand that they don't have to be who they were this morning, that they get to start over, that anything that they practice build strong connections in the nervous system. So whether that's a habit, whether it's a thought, whether it's a feeling, and we talk about that. You know, we say to the kids, our students will tell us, if you have a temper, if you pop off, that's what our kids say, if you spaz or pop off easily, that's because you do it a lot. And so that's plasticity. And so this is powerful, because it gives our children some control. It gives you some control over their behavior, over their experiences, and they feel empowered. So that's just one example of how we use neuroscience in the classroom. For educators, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about over the last 2 years, and I speak to, is when any of us have adversity in our lives, or when we experience trauma, when our nervous system becomes overwhelmed, those experiences get fractured. They get fragmented. And we don't have the capacity to hold a story or a narrative about that experience. So in a classroom, we could be teaching, we could be moving through an ordinary day, and all of a sudden, student jumps up, runs out of the room, shuts down, goes under their desk, throws a book, and we think, what happened? But what we now understand is that our nervous system holds what we call somatic markers. And those are smells, sounds, those are visual images. They are the way something feels. So it could be seeing a white van drive across the parking lot. It could be the smell of burnt food. It could be somebody's look on their face, a piece of clothing, the way someone postures. that can trigger an emotional reaction that looks completely out of the ordinary or out of context for us watching a behavior. But when we understand how trauma gets lodged in the nervous system and those little fragments, you know, just jump out, then we can begin to reach beneath the behavior and to understand what's happening in that moment. And we can be that co-regulator that can give that child some of our nervous system to borrow until they can find some steadiness or some calm.
That just ties into that all behavior is a form of communication.
Yeah.
Really stopping and asking yourself, what does that student need? What are they asking for in those moments?
Absolutely. And all behaviors are, they are only indicators or signals that the nervous system is struggling. So it's communicating a signal. And so for me, that is, it's a stop sign. It might be a yield sign, but it's a way for me to really embody that I'm being messaged here, you know, and I can learn a bit more.
Can you provide some example success stories from educators who have implemented the principles and strategies outlined in your book? How have these ideas transformed their teaching practice?
Oh my goodness. I am so blessed because I get emails every week and I get images of amygdala reset areas and stories from teachers, paraprofessionals, school counselors, social workers that are sending me images of their bell work, their morning meeting, their warm-up, and how kids are just embracing these 10 to 20 minutes transitioning exits where they're learning about their nervous system. So the work of the Applied Educational Neuroscience Framework, which I talk about in Connection, is all about our procedures. We're not adding to a teacher's plate. You know, we're not adding to a parent's plate. It's really about how intentional we are about teaching our children about their amygdala, their autonomic nervous system, neuroplasticity, their brainstem, and they love learning the science. They love that we're not, we're giving them the science. We're not dumbing it down or babying it, that it's really powerful.
I know my girls are always fascinated with learning more about the brain and how it works and why we react in certain ways. And so being able to give them that verbiage and language is so powerful for their entire life trajectory of being able to speak to, why am I feeling the way am I feeling? Or how is this manifesting itself in me? So I appreciate that you get all those great examples all the time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we in the educational system really label and we, you know, give rulings and classifications, and we use a lot of acronyms, and oftentimes unintentionally we pathologize behaviors. So it feels so good to all of us to be able to, you know, really embrace the neurodivergence of our nervous system, and to tap in then to our gifts, our culture, our unique identities, and the ways we can express ourselves.
Yeah, the book makes all of it really accessible and easy for educators, I think, to understand and then apply. So that way we can get to those gifts that our students bring and even understanding ourselves better and our own gifts.
Absolutely.
So we're going to jump to now looking at it with the instructional coaching lens. How can we, as coaches, support teachers in implementing some of the strategies and connections over compliance? How might we help teachers create a more nurturing and inclusive learning environment?
So I've been thinking a lot about this. And when I saw your question, I was excited about it, because whether you are an instructional coach or even a school counselor or social worker that's coming in, oftentimes in supplemental ways, you know, in supporting staff and supporting students, In a perfect world, I would love to see instructional coaches taking over a classroom and modeling a focused attention practice, modeling bell work that is nervous system aligned, and or even co-teaching with the teacher, maybe do a little recording, ask the students for feedback, and really creating this collaborative, cooperative way where you're just, it's kind of a collective serve and return. So I do feel sometimes that, you know, coming from a school counselor lens and an educator lens, I think sometimes when we feel that instructional coaches are coming in, they don't understand, you know, maybe because they don't have a classroom every day of 30 students. At least that's what I sometimes will hear, you know, from when I was a school counselor, I heard that. And so I appreciate that. So I would love for all of us to sit beside each other and to model those practices, co-teaching and doing tier one work, like, you know, for in the entire class and modeling, okay, what do the first 10 minutes look like in a classroom? How do we exit? How do we use transitions coming from lunch, recess, related arts, or in the commons area for secondary, or moving from, you know, third period to fourth period? So I think for me, that just feels exciting to think about from an instructional coach perspective.
Well, and it's powerful that you're talking about walking side by side with them, co-teaching with them, and really being partners in this, as opposed to prescribing what to do, obviously. And I just think you touched upon that portion of the bell work, or how we transition back from lunch, or how we enter the classroom and use those strategies really set the tone for that next chunk of instruction. And so being able to use an instructional coach in order to help us find new little ways and nuances in order to enhance that is always powerful.
And one of the things too, thank you for saying that. And one of the things I think about too, through this framework and in connections over compliance, we have to understand that one of the most significant touch points that we can create in our classrooms and in our schools is sitting beside not only each other as adults, but sitting beside our kids, because the kids love that we always don't understand the neuroscience either. So they love that. That's a touch point. I mean, when I'm in seventh grade with Crystal and we're co-teaching in social studies, and then we do a warm-up and we talk about the autonomic nervous system and we talk about neuroception, which is not in connections over compliance. I talk about it in the new book. But and so the kids will say, well, I don't get neuroception. And Crystal will say, I'm just learning about it. And then I'll say, well, I was talking about this in class last night. So we're all learning this together. So we will give examples about how, you know, no one's an expert. And this is something we could all go home and practice, and we can come back on Wednesday and let's talk about how does it feel a little easier? Does that feel a little more comfortable to share?
Yeah, that's a perfect example of being vulnerable and then using our collective efficacy to work together to learn alongside one another.
Absolutely.
It's so powerful. And I would just love to watch you model a lesson and co-teach and keep getting more amazing insights from you, Lori. But we are going to shift gears just slightly to some of our rapid fire questions. And you've mentioned your new book, so I know you'll highlight it here, but it's your time to shine. Where can we learn more from and with you? Where can our listeners dig in deeper and be able to follow you? And what do you have coming down the pike?
Well, so my website is revelationsineducation.com. And it is really, I always say to people who attend my conferences and the schools that I work with, be careful because there's so much in there. It can be overwhelming to your nervous system. But I love being able to provide resources for all of, you know, for parents, for educators, for mental health professionals. So Revelations in Education is filled with videos, resources you can download, print out. I am the new book, Intentional Neuroplasticity, is kind of takes connections over compliance into the next layer. And so that's all the books are available on my website. I have a new manual with modules coming out in late 2024, hopefully, or early 2025. It's called Body and Brain Brilliance. And it is as much for educators as it is for secondary students and elementary students. So, and I'm going to I'm going to have teaching modules with it. So we're so excited about it. And so that's going to support all the books and all the work I'm doing in the school. Coming down, this is going to be a really busy 2024 year. I'll be at the Trauma Aware Conference in Dallas, creating TSS 2024 conference. And that is coming up in February. And we have a 9-hour graduate certification at Butler University that we begin cohort 9 in June. So that is all available on my website. You can read about all of that. We're so excited about that. And I'll be in New Zealand speaking in Auckland and Wellington and Christchurch. And I'll be in Brisbane, Australia in October. And so there's lots coming up. I'll be in Houston with Head Start that will be coming up in January. So those are just a few of the highlights. So thank you for asking.
Well, it sounds like you will be buzzing all around and getting some good travel in at the same time, which is awesome. Will you tell us, what is your tagline or your bumper sticker for coaching behavior or for this work?
Oh, I don't know if I really have. I mean, I think it's really connections over compliance. That's what everybody says. So I think it's connections over compliance through revelation in education.
Fantastic. And tell us, what is your secret coaching superpower or your go-to move when you're supporting student behavior?
You know, I think it's, for me, it is self-reflection. I have to retreat a bit, take some deep breaths, and I have to compassionately detach so that I can be fully present in the environment when I'm with students and staff.
That's so powerful. Well, we are just so grateful to have you here, Lori, and we appreciate all of your thoughts and insights here, and we're excited to share you with our listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really been fun talking to both of you. And thank you. I'm just super grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Lori did such a wonderful job talking about the importance of relationships with students and self-reflection. I encourage you to take a moment to self-reflect. What might be going well in your classroom and what might be an area that you'd want to elevate your practice within? Who's a student you might be wanting to connect with? Thanks for listening to another episode of C3. Be sure to follow us on all of the social media at C3 Coach.
C3, connecting, coaches, cognition. Whose thinking will you mediate today?